I may just to give a general overview of the time and it's the inquiry. Sometimes there are questions which arise, just from the flow of the days, the talks, the instructions, the guided meditations, your experiences, your areas of interest and concern. Do feel free to come, to ask, to speak about. Also, with the inquiry time, sometimes it's a dialogue. It's a to and fro inquiry, and myself asking the person some questions. It's been rather valuable to remember with the inquiry, not looking for any easy or happy resolution in all of this. It's a process and it doesn't end with a thank you. Oh, if it only it did. Because those of you who know with the inquiry or sometimes just in the listening, you're not actually here, things in our life do get touched upon. It may generate some interest and some insight and understanding. Or it may release a bit of a tsunami inside and you get a few waves going on rather unexpected. And all of that is just part of the process which is taking place. For those who are listening, as previously of course, it's a great meditation in life to be able to listen to each other. Desperate need in this world for what we call shravanas, the ones who can listen, to have the ability to really listen. And that obviously means not only listening to the words of a person, which are just a rather small feature of the listening, but the total event of total listening. And in that we get much more of a full and realistic sense. And there'll be less tendency to grasp onto something and forget the totality of the event. So as we listen, in that listening, see what the responses are. And sometimes, as I mentioned previously, with interest and connection and real empathy. You know, the Buddha uses this word empathy. People know the meaning of empathy? To empathize, to feel close to feel intimate with. The noble ones, and have deep realizations in life. It says have a great sense of empathy with others. Very deep sense of empathy. And sometimes as we listen, that rather noble comes from us. We listen with empathy, we're listening to the person. Sometimes the thought may arise, where is this communication going? Frankly, I have no idea, so why should you? So it's just going where it will go. And there's no procedure, nor plan, nor goal. It just goes where it goes. And each of us really have to remember that in the act of the listening.
Yeah.
So anyone who wishes, who would like to come, and those great majority obviously who didn't come last time, the door is open to anyone. And a small reminder that both genders are equally welcome. After all, it's a non-dual teaching, as you were listening to this afternoon. And I have the recorder here. Actually, there's two of them. And if it's okay with you, they'll be recorded. But then that does mean that others who are not here may wish to listen as well. May do. That's okay with you. It's fine if you prefer. It's not recorded, and plenty of times that happens. It's also fine with us as well, and we just don't record. And Dad here also, Idal, will also switch off his. All right, anyone has anything they'd like to touch upon, explore, question, look into this evening? Very welcome. Yes, please come. Yes. With the recording?
Only if my mother orders.
Only if she orders. We'll tell her. That's, I assume that's a yes, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to remember those good souls over there in the darkness. Don't take it personally. If we have to keep our voice up, teasing you, keep our voice up for the, for them. And there's always plenty of space around here. I promise, no infectious diseases. You're very welcome. Yes, sir. Please.
Okay, well...
Easy.
My subject is relationship and non-attachment.
Relationship and non-attachment.
I've heard you are an expert.
I'm an expert. What, in the relationship or the non-attachment?
In non-duality.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, go on. Say. Relationship and non-attachment. Good, good. Go on, sir. How's your love life?
Oh, wonderful. Splendid.
Splendid. That's really nice.
This is why I asked before the tsunami comes. As you said, love can arouse between.
Can you hear?
I said that love can come between two individuals.
Very much.
Everywhere, love sprouting.
Yes.
And as a Dharma practitioner, both sides of the relationship.
Yes.
We also practice impermanence.
We do.
And we are quite aware that life can change in any moment.
You're right. Good. All right.
I mean, and we have agree about it.
Very good so far.
As soon as it comes to the subject of relationship.
All right. So tell us, I'm curious, since areas of relationship. You're talking about close intimate relationship, are you?
Yeah, of course. Relationship.
All right, okay. So, let me ask. Say what you wish. Currently, are you in a relationship, or have just come out of one, or... maybe going into one. Where are you in this world of close, intimate relationship presently?
In a relationship and very good one.
All right. So, nice to hear. First of all, because of the good person, is the person here?
No.
But sometimes they have to watch their sensations when you talk. All right, they're not. Good.
She will order the... Cookie.
She will order. All right. Very good. He's a nice guy, I promise. All right. So How long has the relationship been flowing along? How long?
4 months, near about.
About 4 months. Living apart, living together?
Close to each other.
Living close to each other. Okay. How often is the contact? How often do you see each other?
Daily.
Daily?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. In the fact of you being here and away for a few days, how is the person, woman? Yeah. So how is she about that? You've been seeing each other daily for the last 4 months, and then you go off and join the Naval Gazing Club. How does she feel?
Well, she was supposed to be here, but she's sick. So,
oh, I see. All right.
And
she, so she's supportive.
She does. Yeah, she's nice. In the Dharma.
All right, that's nice too. How do you understand the word non-attachment? When you hear, that's the kind of word which does arise, you know, a lot in our circles, networks. What's the association with non-attachment?
Well, I like the image of holding something like this.
Yes.
And not like this, and not like this, but just like this.
Okay. So that the hand opened out, not closed, not turned upside down. And what does that image give to you of the palm of the hand stretched out and open? What's the sense you get from that?
The sense is of freedom, maybe, because when someone is with me, he's with me. He's not mine.
No,
he's not.
Right. Okay, lovely. Precious thing. So there's the closeness and the connection. The person is with you, and that openness, it's in a way not making a possession out of the person. What would be some signs of attachment in a relationship? What would indicate, tell you that there's a relationship, there is love there, but there is some attachment coming in? What would show that? Oh, there's the attacher, the attachment.
Well, I think that, how do you say it? Manipulatie rikshit?
Manipulation, I think.
Yeah.
Manipulation.
Yeah, emotional.
Emotional.
Ah, yeah, thank you.
All right. Emotional manipulation.
Yeah. No,
what's the Hebrew word?
Manipulatia.
Is that right?
Yeah, every Asian becomes an actor.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I've learned something. Right, nice, all right. So which are we talking about? Manipulation or emotion? But surely love has passion to it, doesn't it? It has emotion to it, doesn't it?
Definitely.
All right. So there's a feeling, there's emotion, there's passion. You make love, you're together, you feel for each other, warm feelings, and passion, miss each other when you're away. All of that's part of the dynamic of the heart life engaged in relationship, isn't it? So love and passion doesn't necessarily mean attachment, does it?
No.
But attachment, as it were, brings some problem into relationship. Problem into the love. Problem into the passion. Do you notice with yourself, may not be the last few months, any way or any time that some attachment begins to come in? Where would, if I may ask, where would there be any area of vulnerability? Any area of vulnerability? Is it something she might say, or something she might say about the future or about the past, or not say, and sometimes we're challenged by what is said or by what isn't said.
But Maybe this is the reason why I came to up here,
yes,
with the beginning.
Good.
That every time that the idea of future as a question mark comes,
yes,
up, because it is a question mark anyhow.
Of course it is. Yes.
Lots of emotions and rejections come from her side because of fear and.
Right. So what you're hearing, and of course, you know, you might listen to this and say, "Hang on a minute," we'll go on your interpretation. You know, fair enough. So what you're hearing, trying to make this a distinction between
yeah,
what
yeah,
you might be saying, right, what you're hearing. It is. You're right. It's always. You know, we don't have the authority to speak for others, but we can. We have the authority to speak what we recall. So, when you, as it matter, I may say, I get the picture. When you touch upon the future in some way, what you're hearing is perhaps some hesitation. Is that right or not? From her.
No hesitation.
Not hearing it. No. All right. Good. So just repeat. Just say. And if I'm taking this, if I am taking the sharing or the inquiry in a direction that you don't want to go in, and you wanted to go some other direction, tell me. Otherwise, I'll just continue in my own sweet way. You know, so.
First of all, we don't have to make it so personally her, because
no.
I saw it some,
right,
with some other people also.
Okay, all right. What do you see? What do you see from yourself?
That the idea of that nothing is permanent.
Yes.
Even though it might last our whole life, but we don't know.
No.
Kind of make him crazy.
Make the other person crazy.
Yeah, because I'm fine with it.
The Buddha said to speak what is true and useful. If saying, well, the future is very impermanent, sends the other person crazy, would that be useful?
No. But it can arouse, you know, in many situations. We talk about impermanence of, I don't know, of food, and suddenly, wait, so we are impermanent?
Mm. But we'll keep to the relationship, you know, for the moment. I just wonder, sometimes it's all about, Buddhists have a nice word, this upaya, U-P-A-Y-A. It's skillful means.
Yeah.
Of course, there will always be a question mark about the future. The element of the unknown is always running through the idea of the future. And it is important that we remember that. And it is important that we don't hold on to the idea of future, because of the element of the unknown is such a strong thread all the way through. Sometimes in communication, in relationship to the future, and particularly in close relationship, the person, in this case the partner, may feel more safe or secure or more committed if there is some talk of the future. In this case, she or he may feel. How do you feel when there is some, in the communication, in the discourse between you and another, and the other person brings in future? What's your response? How do you feel about that when that's brought in? With anyone?
Well, it usually feels, I think, you know, fine, but as you said, in the DFP, any plan that is more than 1 week away or something is irrelevant.
Irrelevant? Did I say that?
No, you didn't say irrelevant. You said Most likely, it doesn't worth planning or something like
Did
that.
I? Oh dear, yes. Right. Can I rephrase what I said?
Yeah.
Oh, I hope. Sometimes one makes a plan for the future. For the future, one says, "Oh, let's," as I might say, "let's in the summer, wherever, go here or there," and that might involve a flight. It might involve some organizing. It might involve some decision making for something which is 3 or 4 months, or 5 or 6 months, 7 or 8 months ahead there. And of course, still having to keep in mind the element of uncertainty. So you are saying, when you give thought to the future, or two people are, you can be comfortable with it.
Yeah, like we're actually planning now a trip to India and everything.
To India.
But I don't know if it will happen, you know. I can never know.
No. Is that voice coming out of you as well? Have you said that?
About
we are planning a retreat, but I don't really know if it will happen or not.
We are planning
a... You say, we are planning a trip to India. And then this other voice comes in and says, well, I'm not really sure. You know what I mean?
No, it's not that I'm really sure, but I don't know if it will happen. I mean, she also said that. You know, we don't know. We're saving money, but maybe 1 week before we go to India, I don't know, someone gives us a house, job offer, I don't know.
That would be more reason to go to India, I would have thought.
I don't know.
But anyway, I know what you mean. All right. Right. The question is the communication, the upaya, the skillful means. There is an element of the unknown. The difficulty is, if one goes back to that too frequently, if it's said too often, it will tend to have an adverse effect. It will tend to sow seeds of doubt in the love. Yes, it is unknown. Yes, many, many things could happen before the event called we are going to. Yes, the love needs to bring that into the dialogue. Too often, possibly one partner or the other will begin to feel rather unsure and insecure, and the doubts will start coming in, because they're not sure of the love of the other person. And sometimes Dharma language is not used wisely, it's not used skillfully. And instead of helping to bring understanding around impermanence, around non-clinging, around not getting fixated and attached to things, it actually has the completely different effect. It creates doubt and uncertainty and anxiety and unsure about love. That would be a great pity. Yeah. Anything else today?
No, not today.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So again, a couple of quiet minutes together, and then I'll say anyone, then another person may wish to come. Yes, anyone, anytime. Yes, please come. With the recording?
Yeah, don't mind.
Don't mind?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Remember, just carry the voice of the good ones.
Okay.
Sorry. Not easy.
That's the sign. Okay. Can I ask?
Yeah, please, whatever you wish. You're totally free.
Well, I wanted to bring up a subject that I don't know, it came up a lot in my thoughts the last couple of days.
Yes.
And it's actually about a job that I had and that brought up the whole subject of money and business and all that and morality. And and like the way that you can maybe it's possible to like find your way in it. I don't know.
Would you? It's a very important area, this finding of morality, of ethics, and integrity in the marketplace of money and business.
Yeah.
Can I ask a little bit about the last job?
Yeah.
What were you doing, and what was the questions that arose after it or during it?
Well, the job that I did was a very intensive job in sales.
In sales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was a salesperson, and I was teaching people how to sell as well.
Okay, and what was the product?
I think everybody knows.
No,
one second.
Eh?
I was selling nails.
Nails?
I was selling I was selling cosmetics.
Oh, cosmetics.
Cosmetics.
All right. Cosmetics. Okay. All right. So. Selling cosmetics.
Cosmetics. Yeah.
Okay, and you were teaching others how to sell.
And teaching others as well.
I mean, in the cosmetic shops, or door to door, or marketing, leafleting. What was the form?
Malls.
Malls in the shopping mall.
Yep.
So shoppers would be going by, customers be going by, and then the sales crew would be stopping. For women or men?
Both.
Both. Okay. And then?
Everybody buys.
Everybody buys. All right.
Children.
Children are popular targets. All right. So it was everything. It was cream and varnish and mascara and everything.
It wasn't makeup. It was more skincare.
Skincare.
Yeah.
All right. And how long did you do the job for?
A year.
A year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the money. There's the business. Where's the morality?
The morality is about it's about the way that you do it.
The way that you do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And all right. Well, say a little bit about the. Your concern about the way you did it.
It's manipulating.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And how would somebody's walking by, how would the manipulation start? What would be the language of manipulation?
Love.
Slowly here. Go on. All right, say some more. What would happen? I'm walking by. I look like I'm in desperate need of some
lotion.
Lotion, cream or something. What would you come and say to me?
Sorry.
Eh?
What would I would say? Would you like to try some lotion, sir?
I would like to try some, and I say, oh yes, I can't wait.
Thank great. You right. take some.
So you give me a tube and yeah. then I whatever I do. And then what? What happens after you've offered it to me?
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, very nice.
So then you are already in. You're already there with me. So
yes.
So I start giving you the sales pitch and show you the products and.
And what would the sales pitch? What would you say to me to convince me that...
To buy it?
Yeah, I can't live without it. what would you say? What's the...
I'll say... do you usually use these kind of products?
No.
No? Well, you should.
I should, all right. Right. And then...
You know how it works. Mm. It's built it's like a very simple structure that any salesperson knows
how to do. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. With yes questions.
All right. So they get to know how to respond to the potential customer with their yeses and their noes and their don't knows.
And you
get the pitch to do that. Then the person pays you there and then, or
there and then.
There and then. Mm-hmm. So was the product overcharged? It seemed quite reasonable in your view, or?
Well, it depended. Who sold it?
Who sold it?
Yeah, because you can. It's not. There wasn't a price on the product.
There wasn't a price on the product.
Yeah, so somebody could say $90 and somebody could say $30. There is like a minimum price,
So then the sales crew are working on some commission.
That's only commission.
Only commission.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I have to say that I don't think I hardly. Did it like that.
No.
You know, I really like tried to find my way that I can like live in peace with it, and not charge somebody $90 for something that I know he could get for $40.
Yeah.
But there is a certain way that you have to do it, you know, you have to say this is $90, but I'll give you this for free.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
You know, it's like this game. It's
yes,
a game.
Yes,
it's
yes.
a game.
Mm. But of course, some people are rather addicted to shopping, and some people don't feel good about themselves, and they want to feel off. There's something nice for the skin, or they smell nice, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then find that they pay out whatever it is, $90 or $40 or whatever, and then not long afterwards it can be a lot of regret. They just simply can't afford it.
You know, sometimes that happens, but a lot of times people are just happy and
they just
happy.
Go with it.
You know, as much as you can be with a face cream.
Mm. Mm, yeah, not very, I would think. So,
it sounds like it played on
your conscience a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. But I feel that in a lot of businesses,
yes,
and a lot of salespeople, this is the way that they work, and maybe a lot of customers are actually aware of this. This is what my dad told me, that when a person is coming up to you, in some way, and a lot of people are totally aware of it, and they're actually playing the game with you, and they haggle with you, and da 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 da. And I don't remember what I wanted to say,
but it's very hard to know, and your father knows no more nor less than the rest of us about who amongst those who go shopping know, as it were, how to, as you say, to play the game.
Yeah.
And those who are just pulled in.
Yeah.
By the sales pitch.
Yeah.
And there is something of the manipulation or whatever that's taking place. Was there any moment in all of that, in your year of that, that you came to a point and you said, I don't want to do this anymore, enough is enough? Or was it just that? But what? Why did you get out of it? Why aren't you in the shopping mall today?
Well, it's I couldn't do it anymore. I was it's very intensive because it's like 11 hours a day, something like that, 6 days a week. So you just can't do it for a really long time.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you love it or not. It
just the sheer number of hours.
Yeah, but there was the. You know what, like what kept me inside of it for such a long time? I mean, a year is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yes.
It was. There was a couple of a lot of things, but this energy that you have to put in.
Yes.
Like the customer, like the reaching out for him. Mm. You have to be like so concentrated, and you have to like get out.
Out
of yourself and you have to like it's a lot of like work inside you're all the time like in front of yourself.
Yes
you have to overcome yourself all the time.
So
and the money too.
In listening to the working 77 hours a week but kind of getting the kind of inner resources out to meet with the customer or potential customer to speak. But I'm not hearing very much about the first word you used about morality. It just sounds to me like I worked a year. It's a really hard job. There were many, many hours of working. It took a lot out of me. There was some flexibility in the price range. A year is long enough. And I left. It doesn't. I don't pick up morality in it, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, actually, I think that the thing that really bothers me.
Can you hear us still over there?
No.
Okay, a little louder. Would be
okay.
Lovely.
I think that the thing that really bothers me is. I think that. I really suffered, as well as I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, and I really suffered from it because I felt I was lying all the time. And but I think the amount of suffering was there was something not attached to reality there. That's what I felt. That in relation to what I'm doing, that I felt like I wasn't murdering anybody.
No.
That I was just selling cream. I felt like the amount of suffering was too much, and that there is something that I feel there is something to be learned about, like flexibility.
Yes.
And so that's what.
So. The credit to you, all credit to you for listening to yourself with regard to this. So sometimes we're involved in an activity. This is, in this case, the selling of items or goods there. And then there is some other voice at another level, deeper, which is hasn't been learned from the company. You know, you were taught, you learned something, and then you got enough skill to teach others. But there's another voice outside of the construct called the sales pitch. And that voice, to your credit, you listen to. It sounds like the voice of conscience, the voice of concern. And that voice begins to move into the construct called the sales pitch. And sometimes there is some unhappiness or some suffering that can go with it, you know. Clearly. So, in the end, what happened? You just said enough and just left, or did you speak about any reasons or motivations for leaving other than hard work and many hours?
Yeah, I spoke a lot about the feeling that I was lying all the time.
Did you?
And that I was you, especially when you deal with cosmetics, you feel you get a sense of the big illusion.
The big illusion.
Yeah.
Mega.
Yeah.
Mega big.
Yeah.
Delusion.
Yeah.
Right.
So that I felt I was putting so much energy into something that I want to give something else to people, and that I don't want to. It's a very empowering feeling, the success of sale. It's immediate satisfaction.
I feel
like this.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's an ego booster.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So it's very interesting and amazing to see how easily people are influenced.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's
very easily. We're very susceptible. And what's slightly ironic, when I was a monk, a Buddhist monk in Thailand. Noticed again and again, because we had monks and nuns in the monastery, that the nuns, right through the years of their life, many, many had the most lovely, lovely complexions that they had never seen or touched a cosmetic. And just the way of the being allow the skin to remain rather light and soft and beautiful. I think that would be a better sales pitch, wouldn't you?
Forget it, you don't need this.
Exactly. You could train some people in the benefits of non-cosmetics. You've got 100 here, we'll train you all over there. So now that you're out of that, the other small response I have, I mean, just the point of information.
Yeah.
A human being requires roughly around 3,000 calories of food per day.
Mm-hmm.
If the amount of money we spent on perfume, just perfume alone, went to feed the world hungry, the entire world would be fed 3,000 calories a day, would have enough food for everybody, just on what we spend on one thing, perfume. Just to discourage the selling of cosmetics.
Discourage? What's to discourage?
Well, sometimes there's a conscience,
yeah.
You know, but then there's also a larger information. Have you reflected on why some perfumes, to take as another, you know, as a cosmetic of a kind, have names like samsara, opium, poison? Have you reflected on what the psychology is of giving such names to perfume?
I don't use perfume, but it's interesting. I don't use it, but
there's very good reasons why there is the use of the negative. There's a whole army of psychologists in the corporate world, and of course in cosmetics, which is a massive, huge profit.
Yeah.
A huge profit because of the cartel in the industry to keep prices artificially high. And there is that agreement. So what is put in a tube costs peanuts, nothing. But you can say $30, $50, $90, $200, $250, it goes on and on. And similarly with the high level of costs with perfume, which essentially is smelly water.
Yeah.
Why? What do you think the motive is behind poison, opium, samsara? Why have the psychologists producing this, encouraged this? Or the names of the rich and shameless?
Hmm. I will poison, like poison and opium, I can think, like a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people, oh well, anyway, yeah. Poison and opium, I can think like that maybe people would be attracted to these things, like a certain part of them would be attracted to these things, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a little, you know, it's a little, of course, a little bit complex, but I suspect sometimes when we don't feel very good about ourselves,
yeah,
and we want to feel good in a rather superficial way,
yeah,
will be, of course, will be the perfume and the use of the sense or of the smell. And when we don't feel good, we feel dark and negative about ourselves. Sometimes the word reflects that, and we poison and opium, and probably many people just don't even know the word samsara.
Yeah, that's
But it kind of moves around in the consciousness. We don't feel good, feel dark, feel negative, feel addictive, we feel unhappy. All that's associated with that. And in the context of that, there's a pull, there can be a pull towards.
Yeah.
Or towards wanting to be like. So then we get the names of these famous people, Elizabeth Taylor and Madonna and the other forgetfuls and whatever. And that's part of it. It's part of the sales pitch, the salesmanship goes on. So now that you've liberated yourself from that, what next?
I do still think like, there is a great like temptation in these things.
Yes.
Like the money and the ego trip.
Yes, of course. Yes.
The
yes.
power trip and.
But the voice of conscience, and therefore the voice of protest, did come through from you. You did feel that you weren't living a truth, that there was deceit or lying going on. You spoke it up. Is there any way for that kind of voice to, of yours, and again today, a good reminder to all of us, that that voice might find further expression? You see, things are not spoken, the old and the manipulative will continue. If things are not, if people don't speak up and speak out and say, look, this has to be looked at, then it will obviously just continue.
Yeah.
Is there any way for your voice to, from your experience, a full year of working very hard at this, to just raise more questions? Raise more questions. I mean, you just speak about your experience as you did this evening. With others, and help people to be clear that in the sales pitch, that many people are not aware of it. As my mother, she's elderly. She's in the shopping mall just a few weeks ago. She's 87 years of age. And this was for a so-called good cause, which was actually Amnesty International. And within the space of a few minutes, my mother is living on a pension, was persuaded to sign an agreement for $100 per month to go out of her bank account. She's a very kind, generous lady, and it wasn't until afterwards she realized she couldn't possibly afford that kind of money.
Yeah.
And people get the idea that all the money will go to the organization, but there are plenty of people on the street selling a product in the name of the good cause, who are receiving one third of what comes in. We think it's all selfless. Oh, no, it's not. Plenty of times there are people who are making a significant income out of selling the good product. The morality is the key, as you said at the beginning. We are very susceptible.
What's that?
Meaning, we're rather easily manipulated.
Yeah.
You know, some people, as your father said, are aware. But I suspect those who are really aware don't buy.
Yeah, if they're awakened.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, anyone? A little preference for those who are nearer the back. May not have had the opportunity. Come.
Lots of people over here.
Pardon?
A whole bunch of people over here.
Oh, right. Nice. With the recording?
Yeah, sure.
Sure? Okay. Yes.
There are two issues I find myself confronting.
Two issues you find yourself confronting?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
One is the... I'm a bit excited. sorry for that. Should I imagine everyone with underwear or something like that?
How would that help us?
For a fair amount of time,
yes.
My life has been on a certain course.
Yes.
And only lately I had the chance and the support to get rid of some of the stress.
Yes.
And let the question surface.
Mm.
And there are... I find myself, first of all, not quite sure about the tools I have for figure out what is it that I really like doing.
Yes.
What is my love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a second difficulty is the ability to stay with the uncertainty.
Yes.
I find it that it's hard for me to keep up with the that being of in that process of inquiring and yes. trying to figure out and not mm-hmm. having any kind of solution whatsoever, or and since there's not kind of a percentage in which I can say myself, hey, I'm 40% away from my insight or whatever.
No, you're right. Say a little bit to the earlier point. Oh, have you said your life is on a certain course, And then there have been some whatever changes taking place, something like that.
Yeah.
But how would you describe to us that course that your life was on? What sort of course did you have in life?
I guess very achievement-driven.
Achievement-driven. And what did you really want to achieve? What a course, really, achievement. What would be an achievement for you? It looks like you're going to the underpants.
No, it's a bit hot.
It's a bit hot.
Yeah. And I'm excited, so...
Nice.
but it's right if you feel like imagining myself with underpants.
So what was it in terms of the achievement and the direction?
Let's make it the achievement, shall we?
We don't want to get stuck in your underpants.
I don't quite know where to start from. You know, for quite a while I had all the receipts.
All the receipts?
Yeah. I was quite doing well with my high school grades, whatever, and I found my military service to be something a bit significant, and I was when I was done with that, when I went to work and somewhere which is I was working in some high tech whatever, and I was feeling very good about it. It was in the circles I was in, it was like very rather admired, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. The sense of the schooling and the education and the army, and general sense of achieving things and going ahead and going forward.
But besides that, like, having the approval of the surroundings of, he's doing well with the expectations. He's a smart kid, it should go this way and that way. And obviously I went to study the most in the most difficult institute of technology here in Israel, and studying the most difficult course within it.
Okay. And still in doing that, still doing it well, achieving well, and doing these courses.
I didn't really like all that.
Didn't really like it.
Not quite. No. And I guess since me being a coupling person, and since I met my current couple, I have a very strong and supportive anchor to start to just let things a bit go,
all right,
and to try and figure out what are the things I am attached to, and with that great love and support, I was able to get rid of some stress.
So sometimes relationship started, it serves as a fine anchor point with achievement and goals and being successful and gaining the approval of others. It can very easily carry quite a lot of stress that goes with it. And now it sounds, listening to you, in a different kind of phase for you. How does it feel inside, not being so achievement, getting approval of others, not being focused so much in that way? What does it feel like inside?
Well, there is that duality in which, on the one hand, you start asking yourself, heaven's sake, so why haven't I done that years ago?
How old are you now?
26.
26.
Yeah.
You haven't got years ago to talk about. Sorry, go on.
It's like years ago, you know. It looks like a block of time.
Yeah, it's gone, okay.
And on the other hand, like, you run and run and run, 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 run. And then you step aside a bit.
Yes.
And that you're still with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're standing still, but like, all right, now what? Where are we going now? Like, we must go somewhere. So,
have you thought about going into the theatre? You've got some talent for it, I can tell you.
You see, this is one of those
things that goes back to the achievement.
No, they go to the confusion. They're the same spot, because for that whole while I've been going through, I've heard that phrase quite a lot of time. You know what? You're totally in the wrong place. You could have been a great, and then something always changed.
You could have been
great musician, great dancer, great theater, whatever, and so on. And yeah, I like doing all that.
I
do believe I can do pretty much all that.
Yes.
And I cherish the luck and the lack that I have for being able to do so.
In the expression, it sounds like from outside, like in this case from myself or from your good friends and others, but in the listening, it does sound like there's quite a strong voice of doubt coming through about, as it were, putting yourself into anything at the present time. That's the sense in the listening.
I didn't understand that.
As you say, people can come and say, oh, what's your name?
Yaniv.
Huh?
Yaniv.
Oh, Yaniv, you could be this or you could be that. And I also just the one-line remark, the theatre. But it sounds like in the listening to you, there's the voice of doubt currently about putting yourself into anything new. That's the sense that's coming over to me, and I'm just checking in, is that right?
I'm facing lots of... I'm pretty much listening to that conversation going on over there. This guy over here started talking as well. So like, my focus is challenged totally here. there is a great fear I'm talking. there is a great fear to drop and move away from that certain anchor of, you know, one side of it is the work and the profitable income, and the other hand is the approval, whatever.
Can I? Sometimes there are periods in our life. It sounds like you're in one. There is the dissatisfaction with the old. From the description that comes across, there isn't yet, as yet, a realization or a knowing of what comes next. Something will emerge. The tendency is in the middle period, try to figure it out. Forget it. Complete waste of good mental energy. You can't figure it out. Sometimes we want to have a certain kind of control over our direction in various ways. Develop the relationship. Put lots of love into it. And just take care of the order and the everyday, and be patient. And if you're not figuring it out, with certain trust, as you said a few minutes ago, certain willingness to be with not knowing, and staying steady with it, with the natural vibrancy and good spirit, something will move you. But if you figure it out, trying to figure it out, you're postponing the day of the realization. If you're trying to figure it out, mm-hmm. what should I be doing with my life, or what I should be doing now, or whatever, you would be postponing the day of the realization.
I did put some work on that issue.
Yes.
On how can I handle the that voice that seeks for certainty.
Mm.
I'm trying to be with it outside of mm-hmm. in real life. And in this retreat as well, I was trying to just face some of these uncertainties, such as like 2 days ago we in the do we have time for that?
Keep it short. Go on.
we had lunch, and there was I was trying to do to keep it as simple as I can, and mm-hmm. Only one bowl, one mm-hmm. spoon, and refill if I have mm-hmm. to, and don't take more than I really wish. And then it was that jam over there, and I really wanted that piece of that jam. but to say, hey, all right, finish that tahina or whatever, and go back and have some of that jam. But no, but other people will come and take yes. it, and there's nothing left for me. So all right, so probably the day of starvation will not be today, so so maybe you can stay a while with that uncertainty.
My suggestion is more meditation. A lot more.
Thank you.
Just take a minute or two, and I'll just give a little reflection. in the inquiries today. Listen to the voice of concern. In this case, the voice of concern, and a very important one about consumer culture, which encourages and endorses and persuades us through every means possible to purchase, to buy, to own, to have, to get. And it's a constant outpouring of pressure. It may take the form, as we're reminded, of the salesperson who has learnt the lines to deal with the various responses that come from the potential client, from the customer. And very easily we find ourselves, millions do, in terrible debt because we've bought the package, we've been sold something. And that voice of conscience, in a way, in a very direct way, is a very liberating voice. It's a questioning voice. It's a voice which says there's something false or manipulative about this. And at times in life, we have to take the risk. We have to really listen very clearly for that emancipating voice and find something where the voice that we speak in our day-to-day life and the inner voice of conscience are one of the same event. Because if there is a fragmentation, if there is a division, we're not only selling product, but we're also selling ourselves short of our own potential. And that's a terrible loss to us. But I have to say, of course, it not only goes on in the realms of the field of pleasure, in the shopping malls and in the advertising on the television and the radio. All of these things occupy us. They occupy our attention. We give so much thought to money and products, and that occupies our mind. But I have to say as well, of course, that the nation state and the military also engage in a very brutal occupation as well, and they're occupying the minds of the 18 and 21 year olds in this country, and they're being sold something. And out of that being sold something, the ideology of the nation state, the immorality of it, leads to the violence. Not to underestimate the different ways that we are being sold something. And we buy it and we identify with it, we take the package and we're enslaved to it, but we can't admit it, so we use the language of liberation and freedom. But it's an enslavement to an ideology. Sometimes when we listen as well in the experiences which arise for us, it isn't easy, as was being pointed out, that in the movement of our life, there are times when there's what is happening from the past, what is happening with regard to the future. And in terms of attachment here, quite important to remember, just from the Dharma view, that the word detachment doesn't appear in the Buddhist text. And sometimes, and rather unfortunately, this word being detached gets used as though it was some part of the practice. And sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, love has caused me so many problems. Love is not able to cause a problem. It's not love. Love cannot cause a problem. It's not in its nature. What causes us the difficulties and the problems is the holding, the clinging, as the person said, the attachment, which goes on. And in that holding and attachment, in the name of love, not the love, but in the name of it, of course we find ourselves possessive, we find ourselves jealous, we find ourselves fearful. And we say, oh, please don't go away. Please don't go away for a week or a few days or whatever. I love you so much. And we're actually taking this person's freedom away from them. wanted to control, wanted to keep the person. Love carries with it allowing a human being with respect and sensitivity to be free. Free to be with us. Free to be with the friends. Free to be at home. Free to go elsewhere. With the understanding and agreements about what trust is, what respect for it other is. Not engaging in betrayal, which is an abuse of the trust. But to be watchful that in the name of love, we're not erasing the love by saying, by possessiveness, by jealousy, by holding on to, by making demands upon. It's an enormous challenge for all of us in areas of love, whether it's the mother with the daughter, the father with the son, the parents with the children, or with dear friends or with partners, whether it's a beginning or a long time, staying true to the love and just watching is the ego, I and my, coming in. It doesn't support the love. Sometimes as well, as we were just hearing, there are these periods of transition, as we were hearing from the good voice of the last speaker. And sometimes we're trying to figure things out for ourselves. And life, it lends itself to a different kind of movement, which is not based on trying to figure things out. And somehow our meditations and our receptivities give the opportunity for some other movement of the life. And that requires a real deal of attention. And there may be different voices around. And all of that's part of it. Maybe the voices of the kind interpreter who is sitting here. There may be the voices of the imam here. I think one of the most important voices of all in Israel, incidentally. Because that's the voice that reminds us that all, that the land belongs to everybody. Everybody without exception. And those voices around, and we also, while the voices are going on, we need to be able to hear our own inner voice as well. There'll always be voices around us. Many, many times. And we also have to listen to those voices and see what's valuable and true and authentic. And we also have to listen very deeply to that inner voice and stay true to that so that we live as free human beings and we really love what that means and that we're not going to be sold any product, whether it's called cosmetics, whether it's called the nation state or whatever. And then from out of that awareness and love, we can take the steps which are appropriate. It's an enormous challenge to us because it's a dharma of liberation. It's a dharma of real, authentic discovery. And that's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge. There are no lines of countries on the earth, you know. Human beings have made them up. We want to stay to true to something very beautiful. It's particularly important everywhere. You know better than I. May all beings live with love. May all beings be free from clinging. May all beings find the great wisdom of understanding each other. Some walking meditation. The bell ringer would kindly give the good bell a ring for us in about 20 minutes' time. And then we'll have a sitting and then the evening hot drink. Thank you for listening. Thank you for those who came to speak. Bye.